The GB Files, the ultimate Packers podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
Time to talk Green Bay Packers, and we do that with, well, we just nicknamed him Tex. Tex Western, that's how you find him on Twitter, at Tex Western. It is Evan Western. He's the managing editor of Acme Packing Company. Evan can't feel good sitting at 1-1 and looking up at the Vikings at 2-0, especially after losing on the road to Minnesota. We'll dive into some of the individual position plays, but you know, prior to us starting the tape, I said, "How you doing?" You said, "Well, I was a whole lot better a few days ago." So now that you look back on this game, you know, your overall thoughts on the loss to the Vikings.
Well, as it's gone along, I feel almost a little bit better about it, because you figure the offense played about as bad as it possibly could have. Aaron Rodgers played arguably, you know, one of the worst games of his career, and yet, and the defense gave up tons of yardage to a good young receiver, and yet it was still only a 3-point defeat on the road at a team that beat you in the division last year. So all things considered, when you kind of look at it that way, it's like, well, this team's got nowhere to go but off. And there's reasons to think that Rodgers can turn it around. Obviously, you know, he's better than he played on Sunday night. And if he can do that, the rest of the pieces of this team look like this could actually be a pretty darn good team if they figure out their offensive issues.
One of the things that obviously stands out when you look back on this game is the fact that Rodgers got sacked five times. How do they fix that?
Well, honestly, a lot of it is he needs to get the ball out in rhythm again, and that's something that's been a major challenge for him since midway through last season. Once teams started defending them a little bit differently last year, I really think that he's kind of in his own head, because he doesn't drop back and just let the play develop and unfold in front of him and throw in rhythm, throw with good mechanics. He's kind of bailing out of the pocket too early. He's feeling phantom pressures from places where there's nothing going on. And I think that's leading to the play breaking down. And I think all that kind of stems from the fact that all last season, that was basically the Packers' offense, was backyard football and Rodgers making plays with his legs. And now he's got his guys back. He's got guys getting open. He doesn't need to do that anymore. So I think a lot of the issues were Rodgers contributed to a lot of it by holding on to the ball a little bit too long and not getting the ball out. Certainly that Minnesota defensive line is a great unit, and so they deserve a lot of credit for wreaking havoc the way they did. I don't necessarily feel too bad about the Packers' offensive line. I think it's still a work in progress with Lane Taylor a little bit, but that group will get better. So it's a combination of factors.
On the defensive side of things for the Packers, obviously frustrating, Evan, because you see Adrian Peterson, first of all, having a bad game and then obviously out in the third quarter, and yet, you know, still allowing, you know, Minnesota, you know, albeit not, you know, they score 35 points, but still allowing the offense and Sam Bradford to have success. So what did you see the Packers defense doing well, and what do you sit back and say, hey, you know, getting ready for week three against the Lions, they've got to get better at this?
Well, as far as good things that you see on defense, the run defense looks amazing right now. Looked it up earlier this week, and I think they're giving up about 1.3 yards per carry on first down rushes, which is just completely insane. I don't know why you would even consider running the ball against this Packers defense right now on first down. Now, granted, again, Minnesota's offensive line is not particularly good, but I think everybody kind of was worried about that rush defense coming into the season, because the defensive line is pretty thin. So that's certainly the place to really build on. And now that the secondary is a little banged up, that's where you really have to be concerned, because Stephon Diggs took apart that Packers secondary. Now, part of me thinks that Dom Capers didn't really view him as a game-breaking type of wide receiver, and so that might have contributed to leaving Demarius Randle on him one-on-one a lot. And I think that's something that teams won't do with Diggs very much anymore, if at all. But I think certainly the depth in the secondary with the corners who are all injured, that's got to be a major concern with Sam Shields out. And then just overall, the communication out there in pass defenses is not looking great.
So then how scared are you knowing that, the Packers finally get a home game, but it's against Matthew Stafford, and obviously they want to air the ball out and try to take advantage of that secondary you were just talking about?
That's the biggest concern that I have about this game coming up in week three, is the way that they use Stafford and likely to use Golden Tate on a lot of kind of underneath plays, trying to get him some yards after the catch. Theo Riddick out of the backfield, he's a terrific receiving back. I love him in that role. So that's definitely something that I'm concerned about. The linebackers have been better in coverage than I expected so far. Blake Martinez has looked good. Joe Thomas, the dive linebacker, has actually looked really, really good so far for the most part. That corner unit looks beatable, and Randle did not look anything like he did 2 weeks ago when he kind of did a really good job on Allen Robinson for Jacksonville.
Is this the game that you think that Eddie Lacy needs to be a big part of what they can do to run the ball against Detroit and try to establish that and maybe free some things up for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen. And part of the reason is because of all of the issues that Detroit has with injuries in their linebacking core. I think they've only got maybe two or three healthy linebackers at all on that roster right now. So that's going to be a big opportunity for Lacy and this offensive line to really get going and to make a statement. And even Mike McCarthy said it, that he needs to get Lacy more carries. He needs to get him more involved in the flow of the game, because it just hasn't felt consistent. It hasn't felt like he's really getting into a rhythm at all. And so yeah, this week will be a great opportunity for that. And then anytime you get the rushing game in rhythm and getting productive, that'll obviously help out your quarterback.
Jordy Nelson working his way back in, obviously had the touchdown, but your thoughts on how he has looked now that he's back from the injury?
Yeah, overall it's, he still looks a little tentative, or I don't know if it's necessarily consciously, but he still looks like he's working back and kind of finding his groove. And so I think by the time we get back from the bye week in week five against the Giants, I think that's about the time that I've always felt like targeting for him to be back to normal. He's getting open on some plays. He's making some, he hasn't made some of the really great cuts and route running that he's been known for, but I think that'll come along. And as long as the Packers continue to use some scheme to get him open like they did on that great touchdown, that little bootleg action in Minnesota, that was a terrifically designed play. They keep doing little things like that to kind of get him the ball in space. That'll get him into rhythm, and that'll get him his confidence going, and he'll certainly build off of that.
The report has come out as of the time that you and I record this, Evan, talking about the fact that the Packers brought in C.J. Spiller for a visit, Spiller cut by the Saints. Do you think they're just kicking the tires, or do you think there's legitimate interest in trying to add some depth there at running back?
I think it's an interesting fit, because the Packers do only have two running backs on the roster, and they've got an open roster spot. So if Spiller would be willing to take a veteran minimum contract at this point, I could certainly see that being an option. And he gives you something that you don't have with either Lacy or Starks. He's got that great speed, the shiftiness, and receiving skills, as well as some special teams ability. And that's something that the Packers really value in their reserve running backs, is the ability to contribute on special teams. So, it wouldn't surprise me at this point if he ends up signing. It's certainly not the Packers' MO to go after a veteran free agent at this stage of the season, but considering the fact that they've only got two backs, there's a hole there. It wouldn't shock me if he ends up signing at some point here.
As you get ready for the game on Sunday, early game against the Lions, finally back home, I saw the stat, Evan, that said that it's the this is the first time the Packers have opened with two games on the road since 1924. So finally back for week three to Lambeau. Give me a prediction of what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is last season, even when the offense wasn't functioning particularly well, they were at least a little bit better at home. And I think you get the crowd noise factoring into it a little bit. You get Rodgers able to use some of those hard counts and draw players off sides and taking his shot plays. I think they'll do enough on offense to cross maybe the 24-point threshold. And as far as the defense goes, it's going to come down to the secondary, whether or not they can keep the passing game contained. But I just don't know that the weapons that the Lions have fit Matthew Stafford's throwing style very well. He's very much kind of a deep ball passer, throw the ball up, let your receivers go get it, which is why he and Calvin Johnson were so good. I don't know that he's the right quarterback to be playing with Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin, as guys will be a little shorter on their routes. So I think that kind of plays into the Packers' defense's hands. I think you'll see a couple of big turnovers from the Packers, and ultimately it'll be about a 7 or 8 point game that the Packers come out on top.
He's Evan Western. You find him on Twitter at Tex Western. He's the managing editor of Acme Packing Co. Get a chance to keep up on everything that is happening. That's the Twitter handle, by the way, the website Acme Packing Company. Evan, always appreciate the time bringing us up to speed on what's happening with the Packers. Look forward to visiting with you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot. Go Pack, go.
There goes Evan. Up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of 6 or 7 different coordinators, therefore 6 or 7 basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know if any quarterback is going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got two games under Carson Wentz's belt and 2 wins. Granted, one against Chicago, one against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule maker certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the two teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something, but that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. You know, they ran it better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. You know, obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, you know, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, you know, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, you know, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, this Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable. The good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple of weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl runs. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand-new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know. And when you look at this defense, you got to love outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good. But they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. And Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, where Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards, his best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. And the fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends, let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and send the, you know, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that, and the fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. That's not my place to second guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. But the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. I mean, yeah, they went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top-10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that clearly that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top-10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Vince, you know, Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, you know, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress, and obviously Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out Deal Score that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, they were great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, you know, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety, I think it's, you know, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. You know, I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, or question number four, excuse me, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated, because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrelle Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrelle Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right. Final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's coach of the year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off, because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.